Now I'm going to ask you again, if you will, to open your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're going through this every Sunday morning. Hope it's been a time of blessing for you. It's a very happy letter, very joyful letter, and that it's teaching us much of our walk with Jesus. Now you will remember in verses 1 and 2, Paul gave us a lovely picture of a Christian. Who is a Christian? And he reminded us that a Christian is somebody who has come to a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our title is that we have become saints. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean that we are cleansed of our sin. And we live under the Lordship of Christ. Our setting is in Philippi for them and for you and me in Pinetown or KwaZulu-Natal for us. And then last Sunday he showed us that very encouraging thought that when you become a Christian, God, who started that work, continues to work, and he'll bring it through to completion. There's no doubt that if you've been truly saved, you are going to grow. And you are going to grow to the point where you'll be ready for when Jesus returns. Now what we're going to have a look at today is the next three verses, verse 8 to verse 11. And what he does for us here, my brothers and sisters, is he gives us a terrific picture. It's easy to see, but it's not always easy to apply. But a picture of what you will see in the life of a Christian who is growing. All right? So I hope it's helpful for us. Three things I'm going to go through with you this morning. Let's start off there. Number one, it's on the outline here. The climax of growth. That's where Paul starts. Go back to verse 10. He says, so that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless, and here it is. Here's the climax. Until the day of Christ. So the growth of the Christian is always with reference to the day of Christ. It's always with a view to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the idea for you and me is that we want to grow and develop and mature in our walk with God so that when Jesus returns, we will not be embarrassed or ashamed as to how we've lived. Listen, for example, to 1 John 2 and verse 28. He says, yes, my children, remain in union with Christ. And here it is, see? So that when he comes, we may be full of courage and need not hide from him in shame on the day when he comes. Now you don't want that, and nor do I. That Jesus returns and he's not too concerned about your house, or your cars, or your business, or your sport, or your music, or anything else. Now he's concerned about your walk with Christ. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be ashamed. And as we remember that, the Word of God now is very clear by showing us what it is that we're working for. And he will show us that it's by our obedience, active, costly, personal and disciplined, that the Christian will enter into a conscious experience of the greatness and the fullness of the salvation which is ours in Christ. So you and I are people with an objective. There is a dateline to meet. There is a Lord to please. I try to find an illustration. And ladies, just forgive me for a minute. The best one I could think of was Jake White. Now, if you remember Uncle Jake over the last 3 years, it's been up and down for him, hasn't it? He's lost one or two key matches. At times he's been summoned by the state president, I believe. There's been rumblings that he's going to be sacked and fired. But Jake White, to his credit, has always said the same thing. I'm preparing for the World Cup. Isn't he? So every time we lost a match, we were in tears. He didn't mind because he was testing. And all the discussions, he kept on saying, don't worry, I'm getting ready for the World Cup. That was his D-Day, and we'll see today. But you see, that's us. We live, we speak, we plan, we dream in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. You and I are going to stand before Him. Our lives are going to be judged. We want to be ready. So the climax of growth is with a reference to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's come to number two, which is the main thing I want you to notice. The Apostle Paul very practically shows us the pattern. So now he gets practical. See? How do I know that I'm growing spiritually? How do I know that God is working in my life? What must I look for? What will happen? What will occur? My dear friends, won't you follow with me as I take you through verse 9 to 11 and show you the pattern for growth? There are six evidences that will take place. Is that all right? Let's go through number one. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. Here's number one. The Apostle Paul, inspired by God, sees love as the growing point of the Christian's life. It is this love which is to abound more and more. That's the first evidence that you will see when somebody is growing spiritually. Now, Paul was such a magnificent illustrator in the sense that he never asked us to do anything without first saying, but that's what I've done for you. And so here in Philippians, he tells us of his own love for them. See in verse 8 and 9, it was very real, he says. It was very intense. He says, I long after you. And then look at the quality. The quality is with the affection of Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that he is so advanced in his union with Christ that it's almost as if Jesus Christ was expressing his love through Paul to others. That's an amazing thing to see that. So there are two hearts beating as one. But not really, it's only one because the greater is overtaken. And the Lord Jesus Christ has so taken control of the Apostle Paul that now in his relationships with people, he reflected the love of Jesus. That's the first thing. Now, perhaps I need to pause there, if I may, friend, and ask, is that evidenced in your life this morning? Is your life marked with a loving spirit to people? By the way you speak and by the things you do, are they characterized by love that's abounding more and more and more? Am I growing as a Christian? Well, the first evidence, according to the Word of God, is that I love more and more. What's number two? The second thing that he then touches, still just going, it's lovely to just let the Bible speak. He then speaks in verse 9, in knowledge. There's the second mark of the growing Christian. We will grow in knowledge. In other words, friends, we grow in proportion as we know. See, there's not going to be growth if there is no knowledge. We grow in proportion to what we know. So the Apostle Paul now sees every Christian as a student. You know, when we go camping, every night, which is not, you can't watch TV when you go to some of these campsites, it's out of range, which is a blessing. So what do? I prefer 30 seconds, which is shorter. But that's a nice game to play. Remember, we make such a racket, generally everybody comes and says, what are you doing in your tent? So now we're playing 30 seconds, and you know, you play Trivial Pursuit. And it's amazing when folks come and play because they can answer things about sport and about, what's the pink movies? And actors and history and geography. But you ask people questions about the Bible, their knowledge is appalling of God's Word. Absolutely appalling. You see, that's what sets apart the growing Christian. The growing Christian has a deep, deep love for this book. And they set aside time. And they are disciplined. And they learn. And they get into Bible studies. And they do correspondence courses. And they listen to tapes. And they get articles off the internet. Because there's a passion to learn and to grow in knowledge. Alec Mottier, in the book that I recommended to you, said this: to be a Christian, a man must come to know the truth. To continue and to grow as a Christian, a man must increasingly grasp the truth, learning it in its depth as in its breadth. Ignorance is a root cause of stunted growth among many Christians. It's quite a statement from Alec, isn't it? I just pause, dear brothers and sisters, to speak into my own heart And I want you to examine your heart. Are you growing spiritually? That's what I want to know this morning. Are you growing spiritually? How do I know? We'll see it by what you do. We'll hear it by when you speak. We'll watch those actions because you are marked with a love that is abounding. And you are growing in your knowledge of God's Word. What's number three? Just to keep moving on there. The third characteristic of growth is, see, depth of insight. Depth of insight. Now it's lovely to go through the Bible like this together because you see how balanced it is. If you've just got knowledge, it's not the answer. So to avoid that great danger, Paul speaks of love, and the two balance the other out. But now he further adds, and in discernment. So the Christian now comes to the Word, and is concerned not just with finding out its truth. They apply it to their own lives. So we ask ourselves now, what does it teach me? How does this truth affect my life? See, friends, because nothing is known until it has passed into obedience. So there's insight. There's knowledge. There's this loving spirit. And then what's number four? The fourth mark of the growing Christian is that we are able to discern what is best. That's an amazing phrase. If you've got the old Authorized Version, it says that you will approve what is excellent. Excellent. Yeah. That's implications of that are massive. And now you see the growing Christian needs a mind and a heart that is so impregnated by Bible teaching that we are able to discern and to practice a distinctive and a superior way. What Alec Motia says to you and to me, brothers and sisters, is this, that it actually comes and enables you and me to live on a higher plane. We say that with love and humility, on a higher plane to all of those around us. So what do you mean by that? Because we approve of what is excellent. So I say to myself, what books do I read? Is it excellent? What movies do I go to? Is it excellent? What music do I listen to? Is it excellent? What places do I go? Is it excellent? Alec Motia summarized when he said, the growing Christian is marked out by his recognition and practice of a higher level of life in all situations. We are able to discern what is excellent. Excellent. If it's not excellent, if it's not the best, the growing Christian says, no, It's quite a challenge, this passage, isn't it? How do I know I'm growing? Am I maturing in my walk with God? Remember, just to digress here, that maturity doesn't come through age. It doesn't come through activities. This is what makes us grow. These are the steps. All right? Then number 5, he says, so that we may be pure and spotless until the day of Christ. If the Christian is to be well pleasing to his returning Lord, then the objective is a comprehensive purity of the inner life that is matched with an outer life. Inside, there's purity. Outside, there's blamelessness. What does that mean? It means void of offense. It means without stumbling. It means causing no offense to others. Purity of outward life and example. I would hate somebody to ever come to me and say, I thought you were a Christian. And look how you've acted. I thought you were a Christian. Look how you spoke. Look what you did. Spotless. Nobody can throw any mud. Pure and spotless. What a great standard that is. And then number 6, filled with the fruit of righteousness. See? Notice again there, dear friends, it's the fruit. It's the fruit, not the works of righteousness. It's fruit because it comes automatically from being right with God. When we are justified by faith and imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that reflects itself in a moral righteousness. There is the fruit of righteousness. And so the growing Christian, you'll see the fruit. They love to do righteousness. And they love to be involved in the things of Jesus. They love it. It's the fruit. I'm not as good as you all are here, but it was just terrific yesterday. For my brother Kennedy Owino and I, we work in our little garden there. And we were able to reap some of our spinach. I did nothing. Just gave it a bit of water twice a week. Now we'll enjoy fresh, out of the ground spinach this week. And climb up our little tree and one or two pawpaws were ripe. I said to Kennedy, it's your turn up the tree, boy. Before the monkeys get them. It's fruit. And with our yogurt, we can have fruit. It didn't work for them. It's fruit. Because of a growing tree, there's fruit. When there's a growing Christian, there's fruit. You can see the fruit of righteousness. Well, that's the pattern. The climax is when Jesus returns. The pattern is love, knowledge, insight, discernment, pure and spotless, the fruit of righteousness. Lastly, and then we'll be on our way, number three, where's the power? See in verse 11, that comes. How does this come? It comes through Jesus Christ, and it's to the glory and praise of God. We may be staggered by the demands that we've been through this morning, perhaps almost be overwhelmed by the hopelessness of the task, until you come to this phrase. It comes through Jesus Christ, that a great agent is at work, and the day that is coming is His, and He is the present power, matching the force which in nature transforms the seed into the crop. And so the Christian lives with Christ, feeds on Christ, meets with Christ, like this morning, when we were able to wake up a little bit earlier and get down and read the Bible and listen to God speaking and can pray to Him. There's the secret. He is sufficient. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. It's through our relationship with Christ. It's Christ living His life through me to others. Well, let me close, if I may, my brothers and sisters, this morning, as I apply, first of all, always to my own heart. But can I ask you, please, please answer these questions. Don't write anything down, just up in your little head. Number one, are you growing spiritually? God saved me 40 years ago on the 5th of May 1967. I hope I never stop growing. Do people notice that you're growing as a Christian? Become more loving, more knowledgeable, better discernment, pure and spotless. Second question is, have you become stagnant? Remember, we sing that hymn sometimes. It goes like this. It says, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is it? Remember that excitement when you were first saved? No one would stop you getting up and reading the Word and reading your Bible and getting involved. But it's not there tonight. Today, it's become stagnant. Perhaps, thirdly, you've gone backwards spiritually. Other things have gone well, but spiritually with Jesus, gone backwards. It's not only that you're not growing, you've actually gone backwards. You don't pray anymore. You don't read the Word regularly anymore. It's gone. Let us pray together that God will give us a great longing and a passion to grow spiritually as we live with Jesus Christ. Let's spend a little time in prayer. And then we're on our way. We're going to have a few moments of quietness now. Just close your eyes. And I just want you to talk to Jesus. Just want you to respond. I don't know how it's going. But I want you to talk to God. If you've grown cold, if you've wandered, if you've gone backwards, then I want you to say to Jesus, Lord, you spoke to me today. I want to come back. I want to grow. Gracious, loving God, there's so many demands on our time today. We're all so busy. And we confess that so often we put aside our prayer times, our reading of your word. Oh, sorry, Lord. But you look into our hearts. We want to grow and mature in our walk with God, as we have been shown this morning. We want to be those loving men and women that is abounding in love to others. We want to be growing in knowledge and insight and discernment, and becoming pure and spotless and portraying the fruit of righteousness. Please hear our prayer. Breathe on us, breath of God, even this morning. Fill us with life anew, so that we may love what you love and do what you want us to do. Please, Lord, may this be the beginning of a much closer walk with Jesus than we've had before. Amen.